We're going to talk about college admissions, and I think a lot of people immediately starting to think of the controversies and the way that parents have played a game to try to get their kids into college, and they did it illegally. We're going to talk about doing it legally with some great ideas about helping your student catch the attention of admissions offices. The book is called Beat the College Admissions Game with Project Merit, and the author of this is my guest, Susan Tatsui Darcy, and she is the Mother of the Year out in California and also the founder and CEO of Merit Academy. We welcome her now. Good morning. I hope you're doing well.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
Let's first start with kind of the elephant in the room. When you've heard the information and the news stories over the last several months about the parents who did wrong to get their students into college, what do you hope parents who want to do it the right way would hear instead? What do they need to hear in regard to this controversy and these crimes?
They need to think about who they're trying to help. Are they trying to help themselves? Or are they trying to help their child? Because if they're trying to help themselves, that's what the parents of the scandal did. They wanted to keep up with the Joneses by doing whatever it takes to get their kid into a college that the student doesn't belong in. I think we all agree with that, agree on that point. The point I make in this book is that students need to stand out on their own, and parents can help their children in the best way possible by encouraging them and helping them find their passion, picking a project, starting it as soon as, you know, 8th grade, 9th, 10th, 11th grade, starting the project and completing it by the time they start writing college applications. This gives the student a chance to stand on their own two feet, distinguish themselves from all their peers, giving them, you know, an edge in the competition, and really blossom. The child themselves actually just take off and become individually interesting people.
I like what you just said, and I like the way that that is explained in the book. Two things that really struck me is, first of all, making the student be an independent person, independent student, and then also just the variety of what could fit into the Project Merit. Let's explain. Project Merit is what it is. It is a project that a young person has a passionate feeling about. How did you come up with the idea for this? Where did it originate?
It started with my school, Merit Academy, when I was watching these students ask me things like, well, do I need to do this? You know, is it important for me to do this or take these particular classes? And they were asking questions about what they should do to look good. And that's when I realized that it's not looking good to the colleges. It's becoming an interesting leader. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you have to actually start something. So what I did was I started having brainstorming sessions, and now we have TED. As a matter of fact, we're doing a TEDx Merit Academy event this Sunday, where the students who do the greatest projects get to go up and speak in front of the world on the TEDx platform about their projects. And that's where the student gets the opportunity to spend a few years or a few months. It's not doing it for a class grade. It's not doing it for a club or for Eagle Scouts or for Habitat for Humanity, where there's somebody else in control of what you're doing. You're doing it to satisfy something, community service hours, an Eagle Scout a badge or anything like that. This is completely separate. So the students that I work with, we brainstorm together, and they actually get a chance to find something they care about. So if they care about animals, I've got a student who's doing a whole project on abused animals, how to not support the ecotourism industries where they still abuse the animals. I've got another student who's speaking about plastics on Sunday at our TEDx, and he's found this business where he can actually recycle 300,000 tons of plastic every week or something. I don't remember the exact details, with taking recycled plastic, blending it all up, and then creating new products with that, diverting the plastic from the oceans and from the landfills. So these kids are doing things that have never been done before. So when they write their college application essays, they're able to say, I founded an organization that is doing this, and we have diverted this many tons of plastic from the landfills and oceans every day. And they will be the only one that can say that. They're going to stand out.
Yes, they will. I mean, it's described very well, and you just did a good job of describing it in short form from what is in the book, and great examples in the book also. You've kind of answered my question, but I was curious as to how have colleges and universities responded to this, because the students are doing something, or the individuals who want to get into college are doing something that is passionate for them that they, I hope that they would want to do regardless of the fact that this is going to give them an edge in the admissions game. How do colleges respond when they hear what is described?
I think the colleges love it because they see the passion and the leadership that they want their student body to be. They invite into class a freshman every year, you know, 3,000, 5,000, 20,000 students every year in their freshman class, and they build that class, and they want that class to be dynamic leaders, people who are going to come to the college, do 4 years, and then leave and go do something exceptional with their lives so that the college can have bragging rights saying, he or she graduated, they're an alum from our college. And they want those bragging rights. So they do like that. And it's their way of, it's the college's way of determining whether or not this student is just a follower. You know, they don't want a student who just does their AP classes and does their, you know, sport or they play their violin or, you know, whatever, just the everyday mm-hmm. average student does. They want somebody who thinks on their feet, somebody who has a passion, goes after it, and has a couple failures. It didn't work. Whoops, you know, and those kinds of whoopsie stories make great essays.
There are also examples. I mean, the examples you gave are good ones, and also I see some scientific examples. But I like the fact, and I mentioned variety earlier in our visit together, I like the fact that somebody has written maybe a family biography, or they use that as a novel kickoff. So you've got the creative side or kind of the liberal arts and not the science side also.
That's right. I've got a student right now who's writing a book about teenage angst. So she's writing about body image. She's writing about cyberbullying. She's writing about all the things that teenage kids in high school face every day. And she's writing it in a novel form so students can read it and relate to these characters. And she's developed the characters. She's illustrated each character and characterized them. And it's wonderful. She's almost done with this book. And I believe it's going to be a bestseller because it's going to be one of those books that a teenager anywhere in the country can pick up and identify and relate to her story. She wants to be a psychologist. This is a perfect book project for her to do, to write, to get into the College of Her Dreams. We've got a kid that's doing. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, how does it become something other than just somebody's project that they did that they're going to see it? I guess the better question is, what kind of allies do the students need? Who works with them? I know you mentioned mentors. That's an important part. But who is allying with that young woman that's going to help her get a book published?
Great question. We have mentors. We call them college advisory specialists here at Merit, and I set them up with a writer. So she's working with a novelist right now who's written and published several books. So she's getting really great tips about how to develop her plot and how to develop each character through each chapter and carry the characters through all these different transformations from, you know, the cyberbullying to the body image to first sex, and you know, there's all kinds of really important topics that kids, you know, drugs and vaping. I mean, she's addressing all of the topics through this really interesting novel. But she does have advice, so she meets with her college advisory specialist once a week, and she gets some guidance that way. Not everybody needs a college advisory specialist. You can go online, you can find retirees, you know, you can go to different organizations. If you're in STEM, you can go to professional organizations and just say, hey, I'm trying to engineer this device. Does anybody know how to do this? I want to do this because I want to prevent fires. Like, I've got a student right now who is who has engineered a little balloon-type product that is filled with fire retardant. So when utility lines start sparking and it hits the grass on below it, it'll spark this and it'll actually explode and make like a 100-foot radius of fire retardant. In other words, putting out the fire within 100 yards, and the fire would never become a, you know, 1,000-acre rage that we see here in California. And he developed this because he lived really close to paradise that was completely decimated last year.
Wow. I just like hearing about the creativity and the usefulness of some of these projects. My question to you before I let you go would be, are these college students only the cream of the crop that are going to go to the elite universities, the selective universities? What would you say to that?
Colleges look at GPA and SAT scores first. You have to have a really solid GPA and SAT score to get into the Ivies and all the top 100 colleges. So a project is not going to help a student who has C's, who's a 2.0 average. No way. There's nothing you can do at that point. A project's not going to get you in. But if you're in the B-plus range and you would normally not get in, the colleges that do accept kids who are the 4.0 range will look at your application, and they will read your essay. And if your essay is compelling and from your heart, and you're showing them how this project is something that was your baby, that you grew it from an idea to a complete project, and you're showing them the fruition of your labors at the end of the project, they are going to love that. And I had a student last year who had a 3.0 get into one of the top universities in the country. And she did that with her project. She was on a wait list, and she was denied at first, and then she continued her project through her senior year and wrote to the college and just said, I've been asked to speak at three different organizations about my project. And she was admitted. They took her off the wait list, and she was admitted. And literally nobody I know with a 3.0 would get into that particular college. So, yeah, projects really do make a difference. Or the upper echelon. If you have Ds, Bs, anything lower than Bs, there's the project's not going to help.
Beats.
And you're going to need also.
Oh, go ahead.
And you're also going to need to be able to go to a college that accepts essays, because that's the only way they're going to know about your project. So if it's only GPA and SAT scores that they're looking at, then they're not going to know about your project. But most private schools and all the in all the Ivy League colleges all ask for multiple essays and letters of recommendation, and that's where people can use their projects to really shine.
It is a practical, helpful, step-by-step guide to what we've been talking about. The book is called Beat the College Admissions Game with Project Merit. It is by the founder and CEO of Merit Academy. How do people get a copy of the book?
You can just go to Amazon.
Amazon for Beat the College Admissions Game with Project Merit. They can find out more about what you do, at meritworld.com?
That's right.
And my guest and author is Susan Tatsui-Darcy, who's been our guest today. Thank you very much for your time. I've appreciated it.
Thank you. This has been fun.